Welcome, everybody, to the best podcast in the world. This is your most favorite host in the world, and you are listening to the Strength and Skills Podcast. And my name is Nick Tibuzek, and with me is the boss himself, Rado Bosic.
What's up? Just gets better and better.
Yeah, I'm running for that. So yeah. there will be the next boxing fight, and I'm going to be the one who's going to be the announcer. That's me.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for everyone who's listening to this podcast and watching it on YouTube or however you are enjoying this one here, we have a daily topic. And the daily topic is how to improve your muscle up. As we...
That was so good, man.
Rado forced me to do that.
It's good.
All right. As we had in the last episode, we had this topic, how to get your first muscle up. And this one is for the more experienced athletes, as I see a lot of people doing already muscle up. And I think there is the need for getting some help on that. Getting the muscle up into in the end into a better technique, a better form, and I think we have some stuff in here today that's going to help you with that. What we have to say here, you're listening to a podcast and all that stuff. I know it's not a video, except you're watching it on YouTube, but we don't have this absolute great tutorial for it, because it's always very, very individual at that point. We really have to say that. And
but we're gonna try and be as thorough and as precise with our explanations as possible.
Absolutely. I think we can just start over with it. I think when you go on the bar, first thing for me, very, very important to improve the muscle up, is how to grip the bar, actually.
Absolutely.
This is where it starts. And I've seen that with so many people. They jump on the bar.
That's the number one mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you obviously, you can jump on the bar, but in this dynamic motion, you just can't figure out your positioning. At least it's a lot harder to do so.
Absolutely.
So having something set up, something like a box or a bench nearby the bar, is definitely a good starting point when it comes to the muscle up, because, you know, it gives you the opportunity to first grip the bar before you even go into the motion.
Absolutely.
And it sets you up right from the start, you know, like, obviously you don't want to be too low or too high with the box. So somewhere in between, so that you can almost like slide into the motion. And in that way, bring yourself immediately into a good position.
Absolutely. I think the next one that comes with that is, how do I actually really grip the bar itself?
Yeah.
And for me, it's always like, I want to have my knuckles on top of the bar. So it's for most people, it's like a semi-false grip.
Yeah.
A little bit like that. So it's not a real false grip, but you grip the bar just a little bit more with the hand over the bar. Not like that you have the whole palm on it, but you grip it just a little bit more. It forces you to grip the bar harder, and you have to have a better grip in the end, and some more grip strength. But it gives you so much more energy into the bar that you will immediately feel it when you start pulling. You just pull with more explosiveness, because you have so much better power into it. This helps so much. And one thing that I also always have to mention there, you're shortening the way.
Yes.
And it makes the transition so much easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, this one. Yeah, sorry.
Please go on.
Yeah, this one was like really an eye opener for me. Like initially when I started to do my first muscle ups, like I was jumping on the bar, I didn't use a box. And then while jumping, you can't use the semi-false grip then, you know, because you just lose it. And when you are in this almost like neutral wrist position where the wrist is directly below the bar, you just as you said, have a lot more distance to travel. And the transition, it's incredible. Like not only the pulling phase, but the transition becomes all of a sudden a lot more harder.
Yeah.
So definitely try and use that semi-false grip where the wrist is like almost like in line with the bar. Try and use it to the advantage because it's just going to make the muscle up a whole lot of easier. And I think like also something that's important to talk about is you definitely want to close the bar with your thumb when you do the muscle up.
Oh yeah.
So I see so many people out there just, you know, using this, you can call it suicide grip also in the muscle up, you know, It's the same situation. You're just not secure. Sure, you maybe have a bit more pulling surface because of that extra thumb, but you have so much less security then. And so many people just risk sliding out of the movement as they transition into the dip. Just please close the thumb. It's going to be more efficient and more safe for you.
I always tell the people, grip it like you would grip your sword in a fight.
Yes, that's, yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. You wouldn't grip it without the thumb. Because you're gonna lose it with the first strike. That's it. You're done. I think why this is also so important, if you don't do it, you just can't do the semi force grip.
No. Or at least like it's incredibly hard to do so. Yeah.
You will slip out of it usually. You slip out.
Absolutely.
Especially when you use an extra weight on the weighted muscle up. It's just not possible. All right. I think the next one that is coming up with that now is how wide should I grip? And now we didn't even pull yet. We're just talking about the grip now. So how wide should I grip? And I think that's a very important one and a very interesting one, because you have some people who grip really, really wide and some people who grip very, very narrow. How do you see that? How do you view that? With the grip width?
Yeah, I always like to say like the truth lies somewhere in between. And as soon as you go to the extremes, you lose some benefits out of the movement, you know? Sure, maybe if you grab wider, you kind of reduce some of that path that you have to pull because it's a shorter distance. But then again, you can't really use your musculature quite effectively to get around the bar and actually do the muscle up, as this puts your lats in not of a quite advantageous position to be in. And also going to the other extreme, like too narrow, you just risk the transition phase being incredibly hard to cope with, simply because you're in this extreme tucked position, and mobility then could be an interfering factor that will limit you later on, especially when you go to higher intensities. So I think for most people, for the start, just going somewhere around shoulder width apart and testing that out and see how it works for them. But the interesting thing is, like, if people struggle with muscle ups, especially when it comes to weighted work, and they have issues pulling hard and transitioning over into the dip, like grabbing slightly more narrow is just a quick fix to ultimately do the muscle up, you know, simply because it allows them to fire better out of the lat and use it more effectively throughout the motion.
Yeah. And this is not to misunderstand, as you should grip very, very narrow. This is it's somewhere in the middle for most people. And so this is why I said this is very individual, because you can't say, everyone should grip a little bit more narrow, or everyone should grip a little bit more wider. Because I see some people, when I see them doing muscle ups, like a friend of mine right here, I was looking at him. I was sitting right here, and there's a bar right next to me in our gym here. I was sitting right here. I was working. He was training, and I was looking at him and say, Flo, just grip a little wider and you're going to do the weighted muscle up a little bit better. And he gripped a little bit wider, and it was, you could see the technique just improved, but it was so weird for him. It felt so shit. He was like, no, that's not mine. And I was sitting there, and I can't argue with that. You know, if you don't want to do it, that's your stuff about it. It's not my problem. But a lot of people, when you look at it from a biomechanical point, when you grip too narrow, you usually get into the problem that the transition gets a little bit harder because you're going to be a little bit far away from the bar when you pull, you know, in the transition phase, in the lower part of the transition phase, let's say it that way. And that's going to make it harder than needed. On the other hand, if you grip it too wide, you definitely get into the trouble that you just will not be able to pull very well. So it should be somewhere in between. And sometimes it's just about 2 centimeters or something, a little bit more narrow, a little bit wider. And it helps so much at that point. So I can't say this is the best grip for everyone, but I can say sometimes you should experiment with that, film it and watch all the angles that you're using. And I think that's a very important one. Watch it from the side. How far are you away from the bar, actually? Is that because you gripped too narrow, or is that because you swing too much backwards? That's something we're going to talk about later in the episode. But I just lost my point. But
gotcha. Yeah. It's a lot of it. It's just trial and error, you know. And if you try out a new grip and it feels weird at the start, just don't give up on it and try and do it for a longer period of time and see how your movement develops. If it doesn't work for you, switch it up and do something different. So a lot of it, it's just experimentation, you know. I was doing like shoulder width apart, then went to wide, then transitioned over to a more narrow grip. And right now a more narrow grip just works well for me. That's something that you have to find out for yourself.
Absolutely. And now we can go to the next topic, I think, which is how much should you swing forward? And that's a very interesting one because it also depends on the individual. As the smaller you are, most of the time, the less you need to swing forward. And that's of course, it makes absolutely sense because usually when you're smaller, your arms are shorter. So that makes everything a little bit easier. So the center of mass, of course, is a little bit closer to the bar. And the interesting part here gets to the point that we need to keep the center of mass as close to the bar as possible. Mm-hmm. And the taller you are, the bigger is the range, of course. And the difficult part here gets to the point when people swing very much forward, it pulls them so far backwards. And that gets you to the point where you get actually into trouble because when you are too far away from the bar, the transition gets so hard. You just can't come over the bar. And what also will always happen, because the center of mass is so far behind the bar now, your legs will come up now. That's the issue. Your legs will come up now. And in a competition, this will usually get you a no rep. And that's something you don't want. So you have to keep, because the center of mass is so far away. So don't swing too much forward to improve the legs coming up.
Yeah. I agree on that. Like, for me at the start, I was like initially thinking, okay, if I swing more, I'm going to have more momentum from the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's going to pick me up and give me an easier time actually transitioning. And thinking of something like pulling from a dead hang, was like, okay, this is extra tough. Mm-hmm. When in fact, you know, if you just kind of roll yourself into the emotion and be really close to that dead hang position, just as you said, that's going to be more efficient from this center of mass standpoint of things, simply because you'll be able to, you know, be closer to the bar, transition easier. So obviously you still want to have a certain amount of this pendulum motion that's going to pick you up and allow you to transition, but not all too much. When you look at like the top pullers in the world pulling muscle ups, it almost looks like they're pulling from the dead hang position, which is crazy, you know. It's simply because it's more efficient for them. I always remember this example of Frederik Imausen, his 45 kilo muscle up. he almost like pulled it from a dead hang. I mean, it wasn't a dead hang. He still had a certain amount of swing, but he didn't like swing extremely all the way forward because he wouldn't be able to transition and complete the rep.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you always need to keep in mind, you want to have a little, like a little bit like a Z shape, but it's not completely a Z shape. So it's a little bit more with a more vertical, just straight up and then turning it into the Z. You have other very, very top polos in the world who could be so much better if they would improve that. As an example, yeah, Pere Coll from Spain. If he would improve his swinging and pulling a little closer to the bar, his legs wouldn't come up that much. And we would even be able to pull a lot better at that point and a lot more weight. And he's already one of the best pullers in the world. So that's some stuff. When you look at that, then you see how much this can influence actually top performance. And not only the one who's ready for, okay, I just need to improve my muscle up by and to get from 10 to 15. This is the stuff what leads to, okay, am I gonna do a world record at that point? I think this is so important to get all these little details done, because it's always the small stuff like that keeps you holding back from really getting to your top performance. And this is where we want to lead you with this one here.
Absolutely.
So I think what's also very important that comes with the swing is the timing. When do you pull actually? And this is getting also so very, very interesting, because we just talked about how the legs come up because you are so far away from the bar. And there's another thing that also comes exactly with this. And this is when you didn't hit the timing and pulled too early, your legs always come up. Because then you start you're leaned a little bit more into it. And it starts to be a little bit, kind of a little bit more horizontal pull and not a vertical pull. And that leads always up to the legs coming up, you pulling a little bit far away from the bar. And so it always goes hand in hand with each other. Usually when you pull too early, when you are on the way swinging forward, then you usually pull too far away from the bar. This always goes hand in hand. And when you actually have the right timing, which is pretty much when you have the point of return, just like a millisecond later, it's very hard to hit that really, really good. Some people really have the very good feeling for that. And when you look at that, that's for most people the turning point.
Yep.
Timing and staying close to the bar is for most people the thing.
Yes, I view the timing as one of the hardest aspects of the muscle up to master.
Yeah.
Because it just changes with the intensity, you know? Like, sure, with lower intensity, you can probably have an easier time hitting the timing. But then as you place load on the muscle up, the load kind of urges you and forces you. I don't know why, but you have this certain urge to pull earlier because you're afraid you're not going to be able to transition if you pull slightly later. When in fact, if you just gave yourself a bit more time, waited for this millisecond that you mentioned, and pulled at that turning point, it would actually be easier for you. So I always have this experience over and over again with myself, like, okay, timing is really important. Just this one quick fix and you have just so much ease with the muscle up then.
Absolutely. So when you are actually pulling, and for me, there's one thing that a lot of people really, really fail on. During the pull and when you're swinging backwards and upwards, a lot of people really have issues bringing the center of mass below the bar and behind the bar. So in most cases, when you give them the cue, bring that hip backwards. Just pull the hip a little bit backwards so that you bring the center of mass under the bar or behind it, especially for the transition. That's the most important part right here. It makes it so much easier to get over the bar in the transition. This is where a lot of people just like fail. And the issue that comes with that cue is that a lot of people misunderstand this as, yeah, then I go very much backwards on the bar and then are much more far away from the bar. And this is where this really gets difficult, because that's the stuff where we as coaches always have to find the right cue for the person, because all that we are telling right here might be the wrong cue for you or the right one, because people understand things different. And this is in the end, some stuff of the art of coaching in the end, to find the right cue for the right person so that we can actually help you the right way. So important at that point. Don't misunderstand this stuff. Try to get it like a picture into your head to understand what picture we are talking about, because that's so important. Then you can get into the cueing that we are telling you. That's a very important one at that point, that we have that right.
Yeah, I think like with cueing, especially when you mentioned like bringing that hip back, I think like people imagine the motion immediately and they go to the extreme with that instead of, you know, just like, okay, just this slight motion of the hips going back, not overdoing it. Just, you know, just keeping in mind that with cues, it's just this internal motion that should happen in the body, you know, nothing that should be externally all too extreme, just to a little extent. And I think then you know when you do these cues and apply them to just this little extent, you just have an easier time and actually more benefits out of the cue.
Absolutely. So now that we have all these points, I think we're coming up. We had the grip, we swinged forward. Now we know how to swing up, or to pull up and swing up and use both. Now it comes to something that is always something that is an issue in the transition itself. And this is flaring out with the elbows. I'm not even talking about the chicken muscle up, because the chicken muscle up is mostly, as we said in the previous episode, mostly about explosiveness. But where we really get an issue is the internal rotation of some people. So people flare out with the elbows very, very wide. And this can be something that you can use very, very well. And if you're strong and your rotator cuff is amazingly good, then you can actually work with that very well. As an example, when you look at the muscle up of Ranjit Bachhu, he has an extremely crazy internal rotation at that point, and he uses that exactly the right way. I would say he is one of the best muscle ups in the world technically. And this is completely crazy. So go to his Instagram and check out how he's doing muscle ups. And this is completely crazy at that point. This is not a technique everybody can use. As an example, this is pretty interesting, because I have been on a workshop like I don't know, like 7 years ago or something. We had Lee Wade Turner and Ranjit at our place, and there we're talking about exactly this thing, because Lee, as an example, has a muscle up technique where he sticks very close to the body with the elbows, and Ranjit very much turns out. Mm-hmm. And the very important part right here, Ranjit is very, very mobile in the shoulders, and he's overall very, very mobile, and Lee not. Then this is where this gets. This is not about flexibility. This is about mobility. So being able to stabilize your shoulders in these angles can help you a lot with that, but it's not something that I would recommend for everyone. because it's really getting difficult. A lot of people can get very, very fast injured in this scenario. So we gotta have a look at that. So the internal rotation at that point can be something that you can use for yourself, but you really have to watch out. And most of the time, this is trying to catch yourself up at that point because you didn't come over the bar far enough. So in the end, this is something you can use for yourself because you can work against it, that you fall back, or you really focus on bringing the hip back. So this is why I was talking about that, which leads to your upper body coming a little bit more far about the bar, over the bar. So then you're leaned a little bit more forward, which can lead to, okay, I can keep my elbows closer to my body. And this actually will help you to not fucking up your shoulders there. Because most of the time with this internal rotation also comes this elevation of the scapula and all that stuff. So you're really losing your stability right here. And this is something why all of these points always come together. Because with the best grip, in the best grip width, you are in a better position to pull better. Then you come up the bar with enough swing and enough explosiveness, not too far away from the bar. And in the end, when you brought the hip enough backwards, you can easily do the transition without too much of the internal rotation and really having a very smooth muscle up in the end. And this is where we wanted to get this.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. So I would, you know, like for the start, just try and learn the muscle up with that almost tucked elbow position. And then as you become more advanced, you can then play around with that and see how internal rotation in the transition, this extreme internal rotation, affect your muscle up form, but also your shoulder health, as you don't want to risk one for the other, obviously, you know. Absolutely. So I've never tried this internal rotation, so this is a nice idea. I would say I'm going to test it out in my training. Mm-hmm. during warm-ups and see how that affects me.
So I think something that is very, very underestimated to get all these points together is actually the ring muscle up. So I would recommend for everyone who's learning a muscle up, first learn the ring muscle up, because it leads to not making all the mistakes that a lot of people make at that point, because it will lead to you can't swing too much forward. You have to find the right positioning. You have to do the transition very close, because when you go too wide, you just die. And it helps you with most of the stuff. And also having a strong false grip in the rings will help you with the semi false grip on the bar. So in the end, when you use the ring muscle up the right way, you can actually use it very, very well to improve your technique on the muscle up, actually, because you have to pull very close to the body. You can't pull very far away from the body, except if you are very, very, very strong. But especially for those who are not at that point yet, it's amazing to use it as a tool to improve your technical aspects here. Mm-hmm. How do you view that?
Yeah, I've actually learned the ring muscle up first before the bar muscle up. And I was able to do like sets of three, if I remember correctly. And it's been exactly that, what you mentioned. Like as soon as I transitioned over to practicing a bar muscle up, I had no issues with the pulling phase in the sense of being, you know, in an extreme extension or flexion, so it was quite vertical. Also the transition phase, like I didn't flare my elbows out because, you know, in the ring muscle up, it's just natural for you to move the elbow close to the body. So I had this transfer, and I think, yeah, it's definitely a good recommendation to, you know, just go and try and reach 3 to 5 ring muscle ups before you kind of transition over to the bar muscle up, as that's going to give you a nice base of understanding of the motion itself and how the transition should look like and feel like. To an extremer extent, I would say, because the transition in the ring muscle up is a bit more extreme than in the bar muscle up, you know, you just, and also like, because of that, it's a nice conditioning drill, for the elbows, especially in the wrists, because you still require a certain amount of flexion to hold that semi-false grip. And also in the transition of the muscle up, it could take a toll on the elbow. So using the ring muscle up as a preparatory drill for the bar muscle up, is always a good idea, I would say.
Absolutely. Not to forget how much work the shoulder girdle and the rotator cuff has.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is something you need to have that strong when you do the bar muscle up, because the bar muscle up is so much faster usually.
Yes.
And when you do the bar muscle up and it's so fast and explosive, you have already to be able to stabilize very, very fast. So you catch yourself up in the transition and you're not strong enough, you're going to lose the stability.
And you don't have the time to think about the positions, you know, those positions already have to be ingrained. And the way you ingrain them is by practicing the ring muscle up.
That's it. All right. So I think we covered a lot of stuff here for the muscle up. If you have any more problems with the muscle up, maybe, and you already are aware of it, please let us know in the comments, or you shoot us a message on Instagram, and then we may talk about it in an upcoming episode, because we love to really talk about the details in that exercise. And if we can help you with that, that would be amazing. If you need a very good eye for that and some help with that, you're absolutely free to contact us on bar-bellcoaching.de/links. You can easily just make yourself an appointment with us, and then we're going to talk about, okay, where do you need help? How can we help you? And yes, that's coaching, and coaching is always not for free, but actually in the end we are definitely able to help you. And if you are ready to get some help, then always feel free to contact us here. All right, thank you so much for listening. If you know someone who needs some help with the muscle up, please send them over this episode. Would be amazing if we can reach out to as many people as possible with this episode who need the help right here. Thank you so much, and have a good one.